It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon. I'm Kirk Elliott. Thanks for joining us here on Mostly Motorsports, sitting in for Scott Traylor, who's covering the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial down at Lucas Oil Speedway. He'll be joining us here in just a few minutes. Had some good racing last night from both Wheatland and Knoxville. We'll talk about that. NASCAR trucks were on the high banks at Bristol Motor Speedway, and some big events and a lot of things to talk about here this afternoon. So glad to have you along. We're brought to you by Lucas Oil Products and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Austin O'Neill, how you doing?
Oh, I'm not doing too bad. Not Friday night yet. It's Friday and ready to finally get the weekend kicked off, I guess.
Yeah. What'd you think about night one at the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial? The track was just as you predicted it would be last night on the first night, wasn't it?
Yeah, I nailed it right on the head, and I'm pretty good at this, predicting what tracks are going to be like. And what we're going to see at certain races. But, yeah, it was just a typical, you know, first night of the Hockett at Lucas Oil. The track blew off faster than I thought it would, you know, in practice and practice hot lap qualifying for the sprint cars for ASCS. And, you know, they had to go up there and, you know, do some track prep between you know, hot laps and the heat races. And it helped a little bit, but still, I mean, the heat races was awful. I'm just gonna call it how it is. It was absolutely awful. Just watching them just kind of putt around the bottom, and it just wasn't. Lucas Oil can put on good racing when it's slick, but that was just you know too slick and not a good surface to try and run on. And they did a good job taking a pretty lengthy intermission between the heat races and the B mains. You know, for both the wing and the non-wing classes and getting a good track rework. And, you know, the B main races weren't that bad. They were pretty good. The track, you know, had some good moisture in it across the surface. And we saw, you know, some guys make some good runs up through the field. And it got good, it got bad. And again, for the features and, you know, the non-wing race was pretty boring, I'll be honest. And, you know, the ring race was right there with it.
But you also predicted, and I say fear not, that the track will continually get better as we go on. Tonight's going to be better than last night, and Saturday night is going to be great for the feature events. I think both of us agree on that. That's the history. That's the way it's going to be. Tonight's going to be a much better racetrack, don't you think?
Oh, for sure. And it always is. The first night is always the worst night. And, you know, the second night's better. And the third night's, you know, even better. Yeah. You know, why is it like that? I really couldn't tell you. You know, Danny was telling us that they start working on the track, on Tuesday. So they have Tuesday and, you know, Wednesday and Thursday to get, you know, the first night prepped and ready. And I don't know if it's something in their preparation that you know, is different between trying to get the track turned over from Thursday night into Friday night, that they have to, I don't know if it's the length of time that they have to water the track. You know, they have, 3 days before the first night to get water in it. Now they have less than 24 hours to get water in it heading into the second night. So I don't know if it's dumping a lot of water in it, you know, between the first night and the second night is better than, you know, watering it over 3 days. And that's why we see the track better. I'm not sure, but yeah, like you said, it's the history of this place. It always gets better as the week goes on. I wouldn't be surprised to see, hopefully we see a curb tonight. Usually it does build a curb the second night or the third night. And we should see, you know, a pretty good racetrack the rest of the week.
Yeah, I mean, we got to say, this is a real challenge because when you have, 66 non-wing cars and over 70 wing cars on the same racetrack on the same night, that posts a big-time challenge to the track crew down there to try to keep up with the racetrack. That's a lot of wheels and a lot of laps on one racetrack in one night. So, you know, I'm not here to defend anybody, but I'm just saying that's a huge challenge when you got that many race cars on the same racetrack.
Oh, for sure. I mean, look at, you know, I wonder what the track would have been like if we didn't have 78 wing sprint cars on it.
Yeah.
If you would have had, what's half of 78, what, 35, 36 or so?
Right.
I wonder, you know, that's almost the same size as the non-wing field. I mean, we had about 30 cars with the non-wing class. So, you know, you're almost taking a third of the cars out of the equation and, you know, taking a third of the cars, you know, out of wearing the track out. So, you know, I think if they, you know, listen to some sources here, you know, going into next year and finally give us the split field format, you're going to see a better track. You know, that's a lot of cars, and, you know, with the wing cars and the speeds and the air that moves around it and well, just the speeds in general and the RPMs that they're running, it dries out the track pretty fast, and with the wheel spin too, or the wheel speed, I should say. So yeah, I mean, if we can get that down a little bit, your track's going to be better the first night. We're not going to sit here and say how bad the track was on Thursday night. We might be saying, all right, for the first time in however many years, the track's better because, one, there's less cars. It's a little easier to maintain. You're not going to have to go out there after every heat race or after the heat races or the Bs or hot laps and do a hard rework. Maybe it's a little till on the bottom, little till on the top, some water. You're not having to do a hard rework every time.
Yeah, I need to clarify myself. We only saw half of the field for the non-wing cars last night because they split those in half for the first time this year. But, you know, Jack Hockett yesterday was lobbying for a split field in the wing cars too. So even he said that he'd like to see the split field in both classes, half run on Thursday, half on Friday, and then bring them all together on Saturday. If he's for that, I would think that'd be a no-brainer. To just go ahead and make that happen with the wing cars.
I mean, if Jack Hockett's saying that, yeah, I think you need to listen to Jack. I mean, Jack, I would hope Jack has, you know, influence on what happens at this event. I believe he should. If he doesn't, I mean, he should have one. And you look at it too. Last night, I was just watching the Bs, and I'm like, I wonder how many cars. I know there's a lot of cars in the B. I just glanced up at the ticker and. It's like 22 cars in the B main. That's a full field. And the cars in the B main, there was no slouches in the Bs. And we saw Sam in the B. You saw Ayrton Jennetton in the B. Miles Paulus was in a B. Kyler Johnson was in the B. I mean, we saw national tour caliber cars, you know, in the B main. And I'm forgetting a couple. Garrett Williamson was one of them. So, like, and they're only battling for two spots. And now, if we don't have that many cars, maybe you have, you know, a smaller field, more spots come out, more cars come out of the B, and it just makes guys' nights and weeks easier, too. I mean, I feel bad for guys starting, you know, deep in a B that have to try and pass, you know, 18, 20, 16 cars to try and make the show that night. I mean, your week's over at that point. Because now you're down on points anyways. You're going to come back tomorrow, and hopefully you're not in the same situation. But if you make the show, I mean, your average is going to be down, and you're just going to be sitting, you know, at the back of an LCQ or middle of a B main on Saturday.
Yeah, let's talk about who won last night. Tim Crawley, boy, he's had a great week. He capped off that win at the Clay County Fair in Spencer, Iowa on Tuesday night by coming in here last night. He's never won the Saturday night portion of the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial, but he's got a pretty good shot at it on Saturday night by picking up the Thursday night preliminary win. He looked solid last night up front.
Yeah, he looked pretty good all night long, and that was just a track that fell right into Tim's, you know, driving style, and it fell right into Derek Hagar's too. I was kind of surprised to see, you know, Joe B. Miller kind of run up there, you know, the top three and have a battle, you know, for the lead there for a couple laps. I've always seen Joe B. really good on, like, choppy and heavy stuff, and to see him good on slick and slow, you know, shows just how good Joe B. is. But, yeah, that track just, when it got really slick like that and it was just about, you know, no wheel spin, momentum, you know, keeping the car straight, it was going to be tough, you know, having Crawley on the front row, that deal. And then when the rubber came in, you know, he had a pretty good handle on the race. And it was just, just ride out, you know, don't get on the right rear too hard. Don't take a chance of you know, blowing it or having it go flat. And he just ran 25, you know, good laps with no mistakes. And, you know, it sucks that the track took rubber, you know, a little past halfway, but it's just kind of how the night was. But, yeah, I mean, we saw guys, you know, even though it took rubber and went and locked down, we saw guys like Sam come from, you know, around the 20th to starting spot to run eighth. So, you know, guys were still able to make big runs, but it was very, you know, slim and far, far between, you know, who was making those runs.
Mark Smith really impressed last night. Started eighth and ended up third. He looked really good from out of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so Mark, I remember when Mark came here, and I think Brian said 2020. He dominated the first two nights. We did what Hagar did last year, just put it on us. And I don't remember what really happened to him on Saturday night. I think the track might have changed. If I remember right, the track was pretty slick, kind of like what we saw last night. Just no rubber the first two nights in 2020, and I think the track was kind of heavier on Saturday, and he just didn't really have the car for it. But I when I was looking through the entry list, he runs his own car, which is the 1M, and I just didn't see his name, you know, around the number one entries. And, you know, last night he was in the 43 car, which he's been running, you know, back on the East Coast, a handful of times throughout the year. And I should have looked at the 43 car entry to see if he would be in it. But, yeah, I mean, he's going to be one to keep your eye on. Like I said, he was good here in 2020. He's really good back on the East Coast in both the 360 and the 410. So I think it's finally time. He's owed, a win here on Saturday night. You know, he's won the first two nights. So, I mean, if he has a solid night tonight and he's sitting in the top eight in points going into Saturday, I mean, he's going to be tough to beat.
You brought up Sam Haperteep Jr. He's a three-time winner of the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial. He qualified fourth last night, and that really kind of put him behind the eight ball, because even though he got through the heat, running the heat race, he won the heat race. He didn't accumulate enough of the points to lock him into the A, so he had to come out of the B main, and he came from 17th to 8th. But I missed this interview last night after he won the heat race, but he was not happy with the way qualifying went there, was he?
No, from what it sounds like is the flagman was just lazy on the stand, and he just didn't give him the white is what it sounds like. He just gave him the green. Had the rolled up white sitting in his hand, and then threw the checkered. And in qualifying, it's really, especially in group qualifying, because you're trying to keep space between the guy in front of you and try
and
nail
your lap.
It was the
same as hot laps, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you're trying to nail a good lap, and you know, if you have a bad, you know, out lap, you're going to try and make that adjustment on your second lap, which is coming is the white flag lap, and or your first time lap. And then if that lap's bad, your second lap, you're trying to make that better. You're just, you know if you're going to have a good lap or not. And it's really important to know, you know, what lap you're on. And if the flagman's not giving you the white or the green or the checkered, it's really going to screw you and mess with you. And that's what Sam had happened to him. I'm not sure if that's the same flagman that was at US 36 this year. But if it is, I think you need another job, to be honest with you. For people that don't know what happened at US 36, we had a guy, you know, get in the wall into one. The flagman turned the red lights on, then turned them back off, and turned the yellow lights on. And had cars stop because they seen the red lights. So, and that was a big deal between, you know, teams and ASCS kind of going at it. But I'm not sure if that's the same guy. I think he did a different job with the series, but that's somebody else can handle that.
Yeah, Sam definitely wasn't happy with the way that went, and that really cost big time that he qualified fourth, because that'll force him to have to come from the B main. You know, one other guy that didn't make the A main last night was a guy that nearly won this race a year ago, Roger Crockett.
Yeah,
didn't transfer out of the B main for the A feature last night.
Yeah, and that's what I'm kind of saying. That just goes back to, you know, the split field format. I mean, you're racing against a lot of good cars, and even if they split it, you're going to race a lot of against good cars too, but the amount is less. And, you know, you'd see guys like Roger probably in the show. But when you're sitting in a B main with 20 cars and the top 10 cars in the B, I feel like all had a legitimate shot at making the show. And he just, man, he just kind of got, you know, stuck back there, you know, in the back of the top 10 and ran up to a decent spot and just didn't have enough to get there. But yeah, that was kind of surprising to see, you know, he wasn't the only one that I was surprised to not see, you know, make the show. I think Eric Jensen would be the other one I was kind of surprised with. But yeah, it's just a tough night. I mean, this is one of the hardest races to make out of the entire year.
Right now, if you look at the points, Tim Crawley, Derek Hager, Mark Smith, Joe B. Miller, and Wayne Johnson are your top five in points. They'll continue to accumulate points. The top eight in points lock themselves into Saturday night's feature. And then we were just looking at the format a while ago. They'll run four last chance qualifiers on Saturday night and three B mains to fill out the rest of the field, right?
Yeah, so they'll run... What will happen is they'll lock the top eight and overall points from last night and tonight into the first eight spots of the feature. And ninth place in points will go to the pole of the LCQ. 10th will go to the pole of a second one. And then on down, they'll stagger the field. The first two cars out of each LCQ will go ahead and lock right into the show. And then if you finish third, I'm assuming you go straight to the pole of the B. And then it'll stagger, it's, you know, way across and down for the B mains, and the top two out of the three B mains will lock into the show. So at least you get two chances of trying to get to the show, and it makes the night a little easier on guys who start at the back of an LCQ to kind of run up and pass a couple cars, get a decent starting position in the B, and have one last shot to get into the show.
Again, we were talking about it. We're about 65 non-wing cars last night. Half the field run and half the field tonight. Mario Clauser, the big winner last night, as he started on the pole and led the whole way.
Yeah, it was going to be tough to beat Mario when he started on the front row like that. I thought. You know, Wyatt Burks did a pretty good job there the first handful of laps of staying right there with Mario. There's the track wasn't that good, you know, for the non-wing cars. I felt like it just the top in three and four was too far, you know, over the little flat top. There's about a groove and a half of a flat part of the track in three and four. So when the cushion gets over that, it's hard. Especially in non-wing cars, to carry momentum off of it. At that point, it's close to the wall anyways, and if the bottom has a little bit of moisture, it's going to be hard to overcome the moisture on the bottom on the top. So, yeah, it's just and the bottom in one and two wasn't – it was good. There was, you know, good moisture down there, but, you know, guys couldn't carry a lot of momentum into it because it was kind of narrow and carry a lot of speed out of the corner. So that's why the top was just so good in one and two. And you know – you guys in traffic could make, you know, both lanes work there, but when you're trying to run down, if you're Wyatt Brooks and you're trying to run down Mario, you needed to kind of follow him and then hope he made a mistake like he did the first couple laps and missed the bottom in three and four and get by him. But, you know, the first couple times, you know, Wyatt Brooks got by him. He needed to move up to the top in one and two, but I understand why he didn't. He felt like he could, you know, make runs off the bottom in one and two, but it's just, I think he just, you know, it's different, you know, as a driver and as somebody watching on, you know, the things you need to do different. But, yeah, it's just, I mean, he had a decent night. He should be sitting pretty well, you know, going into Saturday. So it's just hopefully they get a better track. Give the Norman guy something to lean on, a little moisture on the bottom, and we'll see a pretty good race.
Yeah, Wyatt Burks did lead briefly in that race, and Clauser was able to move around him around the outside. Joe B. Miller, we saw him at Lake Ozark Speedway do well in both the wing and non-wing cars. He's got a fast car in both classes again this weekend. Top five finish in the wing class. He finished third in the non-wing car last night. But the biggest charger of the race, a guy who finished second to Wesley Smith in this event a year ago, Xavier Doney, coming from 17th to 4th.
Yeah, he had a pretty good run. Austin, too, I feel like that had a good run was Casey Schumann. I'm not really sure where Schumann started. But I felt like he had
started sixth.
Okay, I thought he started farther back than that. I felt like he had pretty good speed at the midpoint of the race, and if he maybe caught some yellows, maybe he, you know, Schumann maybe could have had, you know, a shot at getting a run, you know, on the restart and getting up maybe into the top three. But yeah, Doney's going to be tough to beat. Doney's not afraid of staying on the gas. I'll give him that. He's done really well, you know, in the non-wing class here past, yeah, 2 or 3 years. And yeah, if he can get a better starting spot, or a decent starting spot heading into Saturday, and the track's pretty good, he might have something for him.
Yeah, he won the first B main, so he had to come out of the B main.
Yeah,
started 17th and ends up fourth. He's got to be really feeling good because he had a good race car there a year ago. I mean, here's a guy that's got upside down a number of times, but Lucas Oil Speedway seems to be a place to his liking.
Yeah, that's what it sure looks like. And you know, even he went down there his first year, never seen the place, and I think he put on a pretty good show. I don't really remember where he finished, but I'm pretty sure he made the show and had a good weekend. But yeah, if he can just you know, put a decent Saturday program together, like I said, he's gonna be, you know, be one to contend with. And even if he doesn't have to run a B last night, just imagine if he starts, you know, 12th or so, and doesn't have to pass, you know, 10 cars like he did to get up there. I mean, he might be sitting there challenging for, you know, a podium.
We're looking at tonight's lineup. Wesley Smith, who won this event a year ago, is one of the guys that are be going tonight. And just looking down through the list of drivers, Quentin Benson is in there. Riley Kreisel, who we spoke with yesterday, is going to be running tonight. And Cody Baker is also running tonight. Those are just some of the names that will be going at it in the second half of the field that will be in action for the non-wing cars tonight.
Yeah, also, too, one that you didn't mention was our guest yesterday in Riley Kreisel. Yeah. You know, Riley mentioned yesterday he came off of a win there in May with the non-wing car. So, you know, they have some confidence and have some general, you know, idea that they're going to have, you know, a decent night heading into the night. So if they just they put a, you know, a good solid night together, I think Riley can finally, you know, get over the struggles he's had, you know, at Lucas the past couple of years.
The other big event last night that opened up the three-night run is the Lucas Oil Late Model Knoxville Nationals, and 48 cars on hand at Knoxville this weekend. We see Scott Traylor is joining us right now. Scott, are you there?
Hey, bud. How you doing?
Glad to have you. How you feeling, man?
Not very good.
Well, a little bit under the weather. We had you on yesterday, and, man, I'm sorry to hear about that, not feeling very good. But you did see the races last night. Your thoughts about night one at Wheatland, Jesse Hockett, Daniel McMillan Memorial?
Oh, well, I went up and I saw the features. You know, I had to watch my Chiefs last night a little bit. So, but anyway,
That's got to make you feel good. The Chiefs won.
They did. That was a pretty thrilling victory last night, by the way. You know, I talk about last night, you know, Tim Crawley, it's so good to see him end his career on such a high note, isn't it? He picks up the win up at Spencer. I'm not sure how many wins he's got this year. Do you know that off the top of your head, Austin? Here,
I think
I'll get
it's four.
It's four. But it's really good to see somebody that has been very good to ASCS over the years. You know, multi-time champion. He's got so much going on for him right now. You know, we sponsor Blake Hahn a little bit with fire suits and whatnot, but you know, you kind of want to pull for Tim Crawley a little bit, don't you? I mean, it would be nice to be able to see him go out on a high note, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. He's a great guy, by the way. Everybody loves Tim Crawley. I mean, the history that he has had in the Lucas Oil ASCS series, former champion of the event, former champion of the series. Yeah, to see him go out on a high note is great. But do you really actually believe that he'll be fully retired?
Yes. His future is all about his son right now, and he's going to be his crew chief, and he's going to make Landon a lot faster. Yeah, listen, you know, Landon does pretty good by himself right now, but if he gets full attention from his dad, and his dad goes over there and crew chiefs for him, I think Landon's going to get a lot better. You know, he could talk to him about what he needs to do out on the racetrack and this and that. And I just think Landon's going to – I think this is going to be a big benefit to Landon in the future.
Makes sense to me. No doubt about it. The track, we talked – Austin and I talked about the racetrack last night. It was just as Austin had predicted that it would be. And that, I guess that's typical for the first night of the Hockett, but – you know, that is a big challenge when you put that many race cars, sprint cars in particular, on the racetrack on the same night.
What was it, 79? I think it was – how many cars was it in the wing cars?
I thought I seen 78 is what
78,
I saw get or drawn in.
Well, again, I think we all will agree on it that they need to split the field. You know, they need to do what Power Eyes do and split the field. But I will give them credit. Last night, they were over at 11 o'clock.
They did. They got right at 11.
Right at 11 o'clock, they were done last night, and that was a good thing. But the track rubbered up there. Now, I think Tim Crawley and some of the other drivers kind of downplayed how much rubber was laying down. Don't you think, Austin, when you listen to them do their interviews?
I
felt they were downplaying how much rubber was laid down. How about you?
You know, what's funny is when I seen, you know, the end of the race, you know, coming in that, you know, Tim was pretty much going to win the deal. I turned off. I didn't listen to the interview because I knew exactly what he would say, that the rubber wasn't that bad. He always says it. He did it at Tulsa, and he did it at another race he won, I think. Or he ran second at during Speed Week, and I get that. I mean, you can be only so critical on the track crew, but you gotta call it out how it is sometimes.
It was a little wider than what he led on to.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, yeah. I get that. You know, some guys, you know, are just like that. But I knew what I was gonna hear, and that was it.
Derek Kagar said the same thing, though, to be fair. You know, he said there was a tinge of rubber laid down there a little bit. That's what he said, a tinge. I think that's the exact quote. I'm not sure, but I think that's what he said. Hey, but there was quite a bit of rubber laid down there last night. And, you know, they were dragging those lefts, and they just moved down and gotten the rubber. And once they found the rubber on the bottom, it was all over at that point.
Hey, when you hear Jack Hockett on this show yesterday say that he's been lobbying for split fields in both classes for a while now, you would think, hey, should be a done deal, should it not?
No. Mm-hmm. That's an ASCS thing. You know, Terry Maddox is the one that's got to make the decision to split the field. He is the owner of the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. And he is the guy that has to make the decision. Do they split the field or not? I mean, when you get up to 78 cars and you've got 60 some other cars in the non-wing class, and what they run, how many of them did they run last night, Austin?
Half, you know? So about 35, 30 in that range.
35. So I think they need to just split it up and do it in two nights. I mean, first of all, one of the reasons I think they should do it is to save the teams a little bit of money. Would you agree with that, Austin?
Money, yeah, for sure. You know, for guys that, you know, didn't make the show, you're only going to make, I think, $150. And then, you know, start money's $300. So not good money until you get to the top 10. So, yes, you're going to save money. And also, too, that's a lot of work. And now, I'm gonna, if I could race every night of the week, if I could race every night of the week, I would. All right, but
right.
It takes a lot to do that. even running three nights in a row, that's a lot of work. Just look at it. What did we get done? About 11:30 last night?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock. So, yeah. 11 o'clock, you're going to be there till 2, 3 in the morning because it's cool out. You don't really want to work during the day. So, you're going to be at the car wash or doing maintenance. You're going to get back up about, you know, 9 or 10 the next day and be there all day long getting your stuff ready for the next night. You do that for a couple nights in a row, that's going to really drag you down and wear on you. And
it's just, let me just say this, Austin. When I left today, I left down at the racetrack about 9:30 this morning. Not one team was out working on their cars. I think all the teams got their maintenance done last night.
Well, I mean that too. Right. I mean you can.
Yeah.
It's either if you do it all at night or you do it all at the day. You're going to be. It's just it makes for a really long week. I think teams would appreciate it in a lot of different ways, making the nights easier on teams, making their week easier on them. Making the night go by fast. It's just, I could sit here and name off probably 10 of them.
Right.
And I'd be missing a couple on why they should be split.
The reason I say it saves them money is that you don't have to buy the tires for two nights in a row.
Well, just think too. I mean,
how much is that going to cost?
I mean, last night you would have spent about $1,200 in tires just to make the feature. If it burned them up, be about $1,200. Also, too, something we haven't talked about is engine rebuilds. You save a night on your engine rebuilds. Now you can either go race another race later on, but if you don't race that, I mean, that's if you break down if it's a 25 race season that you have, well, that's what a motor is. You have 25 races on it, and it's about $10,000 or so for the rebuild. Let me get my calculator out. So per race, let me see. Hold on.
Can you add in your head there,
no,
Austin?
No, I cannot. I mean, that's about $500 to, let's say, $1,000 a night. That's maybe less than $1,000, but $500 plus or minus, you know, a couple of hundred bucks on your engine rebuild. So now, I mean, you're saving money on your engine rebuild by not running the second night.
Yeah. Hey, we haven't taken a break yet. Let's do that now. We'll come back, talk more about this. We still got to talk about Knoxville and what went on up there last night. Speaking of Knoxville, the track tribute to Ascot Speedway is going on right now. And also, Mike Marler at this very moment is at the session up there with Dave Argerbright at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. So when you get up there for the late model Knoxville Nationals, check out the tribute to Ascot Park and all the other exhibits in the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. And the museum is open 7 days a week. They're only closed a couple of holidays throughout the year. And so check it out, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. We're coming back with more here on Mostly Motorsports. Stay with us.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Kirk Elliott here, filling in for Scott Traylor, who's actually with us right now. He had to leave early from Lucas Oil Speedway because he's under the weather. Scott, I just feel bad that you're not feeling well. You had to leave early from down there, man. That's awful.
Well, that's just the luck of the draw there, Kirk. You know, that's... I got down there. You know, I felt bad the day I left. And I didn't feel... I thought I was having some sinus problems. But turns out that I was getting a cold. And so I didn't want to infect anybody down there, get anybody sick. So I just decided to bring the old bus home.
Bummer. Well, you got to feel better because the Chiefs won last night. That was pretty awesome.
Well, let me tell you, I don't smoke cigarettes, but let me tell you this. I think I needed a cigarette after that one last night, because that was a very interesting game last night, Kirk, to say
that,
the least.
That interception return that went for about 95 yards, that was a big one, wasn't it?
99 yards.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that I even got up and hooped and hollered on that one. Wow.
Well, that was the game winner. I mean, yeah. That's what put us over the top right there. You know, I want to talk about, Tammy said that she saw a good race at Baps last night, a great battle between Brent Marks and Casey Kane. And I see Marks, he's headed down to Lucas Oil Speedway tonight. Chuck's checking in from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, as he always does. Tammy, we love Tammy. She's one of our loyal supporters. She's PA Posse proud of Mark Smith last night, who got a podium finish. That was pretty good finish for him last night as well. And then Pete says that Brian Brown, Buddy Kofoit, Casey Kane, and PA to go against All-Stars tonight at Williams Grove, 7,000 to win, and tomorrow night at Lincoln, 20,000 to win. So that's going to be a lot of fun to watch some of that racing going on tonight on Flow. And, yeah, just a lot of fodder going on. Tammy said Gio Selzy and Scotty Thiel and others invade, taking on the posse this weekend. So,
boy, that was a star-studded field at BAPS last night. You had Brent Marks, Casey Kane, Giovanni Selzy, Anthony Macri, and Danny Dietrich finished in the top five, and Buddy Kofoid finished in sixth place.
Yeah.
Man, that's pretty. And they had a 360 race at the Keller Auto Speedway last night. And winning that race was Caleb Montgomery over DJ Netto and Dominic Selsey over Mitchell Facento and Austin McCarl. Your top five in 360 action out of Keller, which, by the way, is going to be in action tonight for the World of Outlaws at Hanford, California. But it's only one night this weekend because fires out in California have forced cancellation of the Placerville Speedway event for tomorrow night out there.
Wow. Hey, what, Austin, we didn't talk about the non-wing stuff from last night at Lucasoil Speedway with the Jesse Hockett, Daniel McMillan Memorial. What'd you think of Mario Clouser's run last night?
Yeah, as we talked about that a little bit before you got on. It was a pretty typical run for Mario. I feel like it's just, like I mentioned, the track wasn't good for non-wing racing. And with it, when the track gets that...
You hooked up, yeah.
Nah, it was far from hooked up. It was just sit there and put around the tires in three and four and don't drive off the edge into one and two. I mean, it's just, it was tough. When we saw the track like that, I knew it would be a tough race to watch. But, yeah, I mean, we saw guys like, you know, Kirk said, Doney make a good run up through the field. But, yeah, just hopefully it's, you know, a little better tonight. Maybe get a curb to lean on.
Let me ask you, do you think it was laying rubber with the non-wing cars?
I think they helped lay rubber. I think they definitely helped get three and four activated faster than we saw maybe in one and two. You know, when ASCS was out there, they ended up running around then all the way around the bottom. But when the non-wing cars were out there, you know, like I said, they were on the top in one and two. So, you know, I think majority of the field was up there, and only a handful of the cars were on the bottom in one and two. So, yes, I definitely think they helped in three and four. One and two, maybe a little bit, but yes, it was the start of the end for the track, you know, being slick before it took rubber with them.
Xavier Doney, man, that was a hell of a run for him coming from 17th up to 4th last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, normally we see him really well on tracks that are just kind of cowboy up, just
a lot of grip,
you know, just kind of run the crap out of the car. And And usually when it's like this, we don't really see him run that well. But he really surprised us last night. And I think, you know, experience finally going out to Indiana and running with USAC more often this year when they came to the Midwest has really helped with that. And, I mean, experience is key with this deal. So, I mean, you get to run on a lot of different types of tracks, you know, with those series. And it's finally paying off for him.
You know, the word on the street is, and I don't know if it's true or not, but the word on the street is he's going to go wing 410 racing. Have you heard that?
No, I mean, he's ran a handful of the Power Ice shows. I haven't heard, you know, what else is going on with that. I know they have
the resources.
They have the resources. They have, you know, a handful of wing 410 cars. They have some 305s, their non-wing program. So they can do whatever they really want with that team that they have. And I mean, it's a great opportunity for that family.
Talking about the racetrack down at Lucas Oil Speedway, I think we all agree, and we can base this on history, we're going to see a better racetrack tonight, and it's going to be great on Saturday night. Can we all agree on that?
Yes.
All we could do is keep our fingers crossed and hope that that's the case.
I think so. I mean, I'm just basing it on past history. So
typically they are, the track gets better as the weekend goes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you watched the Saturday night A-Mains last year, I went back and watched the video of that yesterday. That was a great racetrack last year for both those races a year ago. So I think we're going to see things get better as time moves on. Scott, Knoxville Raceway, they had their own track issues last night. And this is really something because the Duncan boys up there do such a great job, but they said on the broadcast last night they poured a lot of water to that racetrack at Knoxville last night, And because the heat and the sun was coming down, but when the cloud cover came over, that moisture stayed in the racetrack, and it was a heavy racetrack last night that was top dominant, pretty much one groove along the top side in that feature event won by Shane Clanton last night at Knoxville.
Did we not get a press release from them last night?
We did. It's up there on raceboys.com. Clanton wins night one at Knoxville. On the, if you go to the main stories up on the top of the web, Clanton takes Knoxville opening round. Click on that one.
Well, I'm not seeing it.
While he looks for that, I just want to say something about Knoxville last night and going into the rest of the weekend. You know, a good friend of mine and former or good supporter of mine, I should say, Mike Mize's car with Aaron Morant driving ended up 11th at Knoxville. I think that was their second time going to the Nationals. They ran last year. I think they ended up in the B, like maybe one or two spots out of the transfer, but had a good notebook developed last year and you know, it's ran a lot more with Lucas Oil and when they came into town and have a lot more races kind of with their open car and you know, came to Knoxville with a little bit of speed. They had some good runs with MLRA at Lakeside here. I was at 2 weeks ago, I think it was. And had a good run with the SLMR series when they were there the next or following week. So go ahead.
You know, the one thing about Aaron Morant, nobody's ever said that he wasn't a good race car driver, right? That guy's got some talent.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, trying to go from a modified to a late model, it's a tough transition. I mean, skinny tire to big tire, and you got more power and more you know, car under you, too. So that was a pretty good run for them. I'm glad to see that they're finally having some good success, you know, against the Lucas Oil Tour. And hopefully they can get, you know, locked into the show on Saturday and have a good run.
How about that? Aaron Morant makes the A-Main and Brandon Overton, the dream winner, does not. That's saying something.
Hey, let me ask you something about Aaron Morant. They're not running a local motor, are they? Are they buying their motors? Where do they get their motors from? Do you know?
I do. Let me think about. I think it's a Mullins, I believe.
So they got good horsepower.
Yeah, I mean it's an LS, which is what everybody's pretty much running. So
hey, listen,
it's good.
He finished right ahead of Mike Marler.
Yeah, I mean they're on a rocket car right. Too. So I mean they have you know national tour level equipment.
Mm-hmm. Now who's the owner of that car again? Tell me that.
Mike Mize. They own here in Kansas City for our Kansas City listeners. They own an auto repair shop in Northtown.
Was that what's his name that passed away? That was his shop originally, wasn't it?
Down there in Northtown, his stepdad
down on Swift.
Yep.
Yep.
Chris Ricketts.
Yep. That's it. Yeah. He passed away a couple years ago, I think, wasn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Clanton, as we said, led all the way in that race after starting on the pole, finished ahead of Earl Pearson Jr., Jonathan Davenport, Brandon Shepard, and Kyle Strickler. Your top five, Tim McCready, Jimmy Owens, Ryan Gustin, Brian Shirley, Chase Youngans, and then Aaron Morant ahead of Mike Marler. If you look at the points right now, Jonathan Davenport leads the points after night one. Earl Pearson Jr. second, Shane Clanton, Tim McCready, and Jimmy Owens. And what they're going to do is they take the best of the two nights in points, and that's what locks you into the A feature on Saturday night. And I didn't know this until last night, that it's not going to be a 100-lap feature on Saturday night. They've cut the laps to 75.
So why is that?
I don't know. I just found that out last night. That's always been a 100-lap race, but not on Saturday night. So they're going to run two B mains and an A feature on Saturday night. The top 24 in points are into the A feature, and then they bring in, I think, four drivers out of the B mains for the 75-lap Lucas Oil late model Knoxville Nationals.
All right. Enough stats. We're not about stats here. We're about talking. So Jonathan Davenport, was he fast qualifier? Why is he the point leader? Austin, can you explain that to me?
Well, that's stats, right?
The way they pay out the points is like the Sprint Car Nationals.
Yeah, you get points for where you qualify. You get points for where you finish in the heat race and in the feature.
Same points for time trials as feature event.
Kirk, I want to know why he is the point leader. I don't want to have a vague answer of why he's the point leader.
I'm trying to tell you this. You earn the same points in time trials you do the feature. He qualified third in the Group B qualifying, and he finished fourth in the A main. And that was after I was looking to see where he ended up in his heat race last night, which I think that pays 100 points to win, and in increments of three on down. I don't see his – he finished in second in the sixth heat. So third in time trials, second in his heat, and fourth in the A main. That's why he's the point leader.
About as close as you get to being perfect, throughout the night.
Yeah.
But if he starts on the pole, like he has a lot of these other crown jewel events, he'll be hard to beat. And reading that story on Dirt on Dirt about Brandon Overton complaining about the late model racing this year because of tires, I mean, we've seen a lot of these crown jewel races where the guy who starts on the pole leads the whole way. Jonathan Davenport has done that. He's led from start to finish, and I don't know how many crown jewel races. If he gets his key to success this year is the preliminary rounds that's got him in position to lead all those laps and win all these big money races.
You've spun me out there. I don't even know what the hell you're talking about. Hold on a second. Let me explain. Explain that a little bit better to me.
I'm saying that I brought up Brandon Overton complaining about the racing this year. He doesn't think the racing has been very good.
Why does he say that? Because of the tires. Explain why he says the tires is the reason why.
There's an article on dirtondirt.com where he complains that the tire compounds that they're using this year has not lent itself to comers and goers in a lot of these races. And if you start up front, you're going to lead all the laps. And he says the racing hasn't been good because of that. And case in point, Jonathan Davenport, who's dominated the preliminary rounds, has put him in position to start up front in a lot of these crown jewel races and lead all the laps and win all the money this year. He says that even though he won the Dream, which was his third straight Dream, Brandon Overton I'm talking about, he doesn't think the racing has been very good because the tire compounds that they're forced to use hasn't lent itself to good racing this year.
I'm not sure I'm going to buy into that all that, to be honest with you. Now, Austin, tell me if I'm wrong, and I'll listen to you if you think, but that sounds like a sore loser to me.
But he made those comments after he won $150,000 at Eldora last week.
Yeah, also, I mean, there was an announcement made, I believe it was last week, well, during the races at Eldora, that the World of Outlaws, Lucas Oil Late Models, Eldora Speedway, and Hoosier have come together to create what's now known as like the National Late Model Tire. And what they're doing is they're making a new tire for tire rules for late model racing. So instead of having, I don't know how many compounds they have for late models, but it's a lot. And the compounds are kind of in regions. There's like Southern Missouri to Arkansas region, and like Illinois and up north, and like Ohio, and like there's a ton of different regions that certain tires are being used at. And there was an example used that, you know, Tyler Erb went to an outlaw race with, let's say, 1,300 tires and rained out and decided to drive back to where their shop was in Ohio to go on a local or regional race. They had to have a trailer tire or trailer guy, or their tire guy, I should say, meet them and have them swap tires out to go on this region race because they don't have the right tire compound. And Overton has a point that, you know, there is an issue with the compounds and having, you know, different rules, you know, across the nation, and what this new tire from Hoosier is going to do, and it's going to eliminate that. So for all the super, you know, series across the nation, they're all going to have like three or four different tire compounds to choose from. So now, you know, all those, they're all legal at each race. So it's just up to you to choose the hardness or the softness that you want. So it should make everything, should make the racing a lot better, should save the team some money, and it should save just overall headache of having to know months or weeks in advance of what race you're going to go to and their tire rules. And it's gotcha. Just, it, the late model tires, from what I understand from that article, before this is went into effect, was out of hand.
Hey, Caleb brought this up here just a minute ago. Hey, Caleb, we always appreciate you, buddy, for listening in on the show. But did you see that guy, that driver on fire last night at Hanford?
Yes, Caden Steele.
Let's see who the driver was. Is that who it was, Caden Steele?
Yep.
Let me tell you, that was some scary shit right there. His legs were flaming. Did you see that, Austin?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Can we pull that up, any?
We can try. It's going to be tough with you being on Zoom.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I'm not sure. With it being in hot laps, all I can think of is maybe a fuel line was either broke or left loose, you know, on the fuel pump off the back of the motor. And that's just really, that's where all the fires come from in sprint car racing. So, yeah, not a good situation for him to be in. I just a little disappointed in the safety crew taking that long to get
very
there.
Very disappointed in that.
That was, and then the guys get out with the extinguishers and kind of fumble around with the controls on them. And I mean, DJ Netto is there and has done more.
He's trying to do his best to put him out, but it was burning him as well.
Well, yeah, well, he's done. He did more in the short amount of time he was there than the crews did, you know, before they got the stuff to work. So it's just makes you grateful when you go to places like Knoxville or Huset's or Jackson, and there's more tracks, but that's just the ones kind of here regionally that we've been to that. They have a professional fire crew in that are on top of their game and are prepared for any situation.
How about I want to give a little shout out to the guys with the ASCS Warrior Region as well.
Yes,
those guys
too.
Do a pretty good job, right?
Yes, it's good that we have them, you know, for 360 Racing right here. I don't think they've ever missed an event that I've been a part of, and you know, it's glad that we haven't had to use them. Maybe, but you know, once or twice. But yeah, it makes you very thankful and grateful for you know companies and teams like that you know fill that position at each racetrack.
Did you see that, Kurt?
Yes. I was just going to make this comment that how about these drivers going to the aid of their fellow drivers in trouble? Last week we saw Dylan Cisney, Danny Dietrich, and Logan Wagner went out, got immediately out of their cars to go help Dylan Cisney, and then last night DJ Netto going to the aid of a driver in trouble. That's great to see that the drivers
that's,
helping
you
out
know,
their fellow
that's
guys.
What they should do, to be honest with you. You know, they got a fire suit on, they got a helmet on, they got all the protective gear. They need to dive in there and try to help their brothers out there a little bit. Yeah, for sure. Well, that was some pretty scary stuff last night as well. So, man, you know, I say this about sprint car racing all the time. It's the most dangerous form of auto racing. And I maybe somebody might be critical of what I'm going to say, but it is. Don't you think that sprint car racing is the most dangerous form of dirt track racing, Austin? Would you agree with me on that?
I think we just need to say open wheel racing in general.
Well, correct. You're absolutely correct. Open wheel racing. Way to correct me on that, buddy. That was perfect. That was absolutely perfect. So anyway, yeah, that was pretty excited stuff. So what, Kyle Larson, he extended his contract with Rick Hendrick. Is that right, Kurt?
Yes. Extended it, through 2026.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, and Hendrick's got all his drivers, signed up and ready to go for the next few years, I believe. Speaking of NASCAR, Ty Majeski went in the truck race last night at Bristol, his first ever win. And, you know, that's pretty cool to see.
That's enough
NASCAR.
Yeah. That's enough.
Well, don't you like Bristol, the High Banks, this weekend? Night race? You always like that race.
Kirk, how many years did I go to that race in a row with Chuck Crim?
A lot. You've been down there a lot.
That's my favorite race.
Yeah.
Bristol.
I went down there with you 1 year. Dale Jr. won the year I went there with you.
Did we take the motorhome?
No, I think we stayed in a hotel.
Oh, we stayed in Knoxville.
Yes, that's right. We did the show from down there.
Yeah.
That's been a long time ago. 2004, that long ago.
That's almost 20 years ago, Kurt.
Yeah.
Been doing this a long time, haven't we, bud?
It has been. The time just skips right along there, my friend. It just speeds right on by. We got a lot of racing this weekend.
And let me just say this, just so everybody knows. And Kirk puts up with my shit all the time.
I just feel bad you're not feeling great enough to stay down at Lucas Oil Speedway this weekend. That bums me out.
Yeah. Bums me out, too, to be honest with you. I was not enjoying the drive home today.
I hope you get to feeling better. Are you almost home now?
I'm sitting out in the driveway.
Oh, you're here.
you know, I think you told Austin that I was going to pull over somewhere, but I told you I was going to back in the driveway and I was going to get hooked up. Here's the thing. I don't want to get anybody sick. I don't want to walk in that room and make you and Austin sick. So I thought the best thing to do is just to back in the driveway and do my part right out here.
Well, I'm glad you made it back home.
Kirk, I'm about 50 feet from you.
Well, I appreciate you considering both Austin and I not to infect us in some way. Considerate of you.
I want you to do me a favor, though. I want you to go upstairs and unlock my front door.
I can do that.
All right.
Little internal stuff right there.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. You know, it's okay. We this is mostly motorsports. We don't always have to talk about motorsports. We can talk about other stuff. If only Austin would just watch TV.
I don't watch a lot of TV shows either.
That's two Chiefs games that I didn't watch, and they both won, so we're going to keep it that way.
I know you've told me this. Every time you've watched a Chiefs game, they've lost, right?
Yep.
You might be the only one in Kansas City that did not watch that game last night, Austin.
Yeah, I had money in on that truck race, so I had to see if my $2.50 was going to come out as $250, and it did not.
And you picked who?
I went with a long shot plus 5,000. Tyler Ankrum.
Tyler Ankrum, who's never even come close to winning a race.
No.
Why did you do that, Austin?
Well, he had some good speed here this year at IRP and some of the short tracks they went to and some top tens, and he qualified 12th, and you know, he was sitting at plus 5,000, and if I put $2.50 on him, which I'm not going to spend a ton, I'm not going to blow my entire paycheck on gambling, and yeah, I had a shot at making $250 off of it, so it felt like a pretty good payday to me. And I mean, he had speed, ran top 10 for the majority of the race, just not enough speed to get to Majeski and win it. But yeah, we'll see if Eric Jones can do that for me tomorrow night.
Hey, Todd, it was nice to meet you last night as well, buddy. I'm sorry I didn't want to stick around so long because I didn't want to get you sick. And Steve just asked, is Austin 21 yet? No, he's only 19.
So, I'm betting through a friend.
A friend?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
I just give him money and he buys the bet for me. Then if he wins the money, he just gives it to me.
I'm surprised you would do that. I'm surprised you wouldn't control your own destiny.
I'm not 21 yet. I can't bet legally.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. That's true.
I won't say anything to anybody. Also.
Yeah, nobody heard that, right?
No.
Okay.
Right.
I'll keep it quiet.
nobody knows that.
I'm not the only one, I'll be honest.
Yeah. Oh, he's laying down bets for other people too, huh? So, hey, what do you think we're going to see tonight down at Lucasoil Speedway? Austin, what do you think?
We're going to see a better race just in overall in general. Hopefully we see a half a foot tall curb.
I think they're going to work really hard at that racetrack tonight to make it better, don't you think?
Yeah. I hope we see a curb. That place always puts on a pretty good show when we see a curb. So, yeah, we'll hopefully it's better. Then we can have a better idea heading into tomorrow's morning show and our picks.
Let me ask you, Austin, were you a little caught off guard by the start of that race? Blake Hahn started on the second row, and he immediately dropped a fifth, sixth place. Were you a little set back by that?
Say that again.
Blake Hahn last night started on the second row, and on the first lap, he fell back to fifth or sixth, and he ended up running seventh last night. I was a little set back by that myself. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, that track was going to be tough to make anything really happen. I mean, we don't really race on Lucas. I mean, we do on the first night the past couple of years, but, I mean, when that place goes really slick, it is hard to get a hold of. The things you have to do to your car to make it work down there is really different from anywhere else you go and I feel like in this area. So I think it just maybe comes down to their setup. I mean, I don't know what I'm usually down there with them, parked right next to them, and kind of know what our programs are doing throughout the night. And I don't have that luxury this year. So I just, you know, probably just caught a bad, you know, a bad night or just a victim of the track, really.
I think he ripped the top too long. He was one of the few drivers that just kept ripping the top, and he kept doing it over and over and over. And then finally, he finally moved down to the bottom and stayed down there. Once he got down there, nobody was passing anybody at that point. You know, Tim Crawley said it as much last night. He kind of rolled up out of the gas a little bit so he wouldn't catch those lap cars.
Yeah, that lap traffic was going to be really tough when it went down.
Yeah.
Down a rubber like that, but yeah, it's just it was odd that not odd, but early on the track wasn't that bad because we saw Joe B running pretty well on the top. It was just once the bottom started laying down some rubber, it took any equation of or any chance of any other line coming in, you know, completely out of it.
Steve said, "There goes my idea of taking Austin to Knuckleheads." They don't play Austin's kind of music down there, just so you know, at Knuckleheads. Do they, Austin?
Probably not.
Probably. All right. Well, listen, we've had a pretty good show today. And don't forget, you need to get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check out the Ascot Park track tribute they have going on up there right now. It's going to be going through October 1st. They've got all kinds of videos, memorabilia of Ascot Park. They've got a lot of race cars up there as well. And it's just one of the great track tributes of all time. You need to get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Remember, they're open 7 days a week. So if you want to take a Sunday drive over there, check it out. You can do that. They're open on Sundays. So get up there, check it out. And while you're there, purchase you a raffle ticket for the 2022 Triple X chassis. It's a complete 410 race car, folks, and they're going to give you $25,000 on top of it as well. So check it out. Make sure you go and see this great track tribute and purchase you a raffle ticket for that sprint car. And if you can't do it, if you can't get up there to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you could always do it at sprintcarraffle.com. That's sprintcarraffle.com. It's a beautiful race car, man. I think anybody would love to have that car, wouldn't they, Austin?
It's built from the best of the best in sprint car racing. I mean, you have, you know, Triple X is a leader in chassis, and, you know, with Moyle, you know, building the engine, that's just, you know, one of the best. And right there in Knoxville makes it, you know, even more special. And and then all the other companies that put parts up to assemble it. I mean, just look at the car, look at all the stickers and logos on there from companies that supported it. So, yeah, I mean, if you go in that car, you're getting one of the best cars you could probably build, the best that money could buy, and to have a car that, you know, companies wanted to support and support a program like that is really, really cool and special.
Hey, Kirk.
Yes, sir.
How come you're frowning?
I'm not. I'm just reading stuff on the internet here.
Your natural look when you're looking at that screen, you have a frown on your face.
Oh, I did. No, I'm just when I read sometimes.
Did you see that, Austin? He had a little frown on his face.
I make funny faces. The camera was on me that whole time you were talking, I think. So.
Oh, you make some funny faces, all right.
That's just who I am. Hey, they start at 6 o'clock down there tonight at Lucas Oil Speedway tonight with hot laps and full night of racing again down there. We'll be watching that and late model Knoxville Nationals. A lot of things going on tonight. You talked about the All-Stars out at Williams Grove Speedway tonight, the World of Outlaws at Keller Auto Speedway in Hanford, California. A lot of great racing going on tonight.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'll be watching quite a bit of it, hopefully. I might have to watch it up in my bedroom, though, which is not as good as down there in that studio, just so you know.
Man.
All right,
man.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning into the show. We appreciate it. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products at Works. For Austin O'Neill, for Kirk Elliott. Hey, don't forget, tomorrow, 8 a.m., we will be on the air. Tomorrow, 2 hours, we're on the air 6 days a week, folks. Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, 8 to 10 Central Time. Join us. It's called Track Talk. Kirk and I have been doing it on Sports Radio 810 for over 22 years at the same radio station. We've always been at the same radio station for the last 22 years. We hope that you'll join us tomorrow morning on Track Talk. For Austin O'Neill, for Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you Monday right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.